We gather to worship in the presence of God Almighty, seeking the promise of peace that's claimed by the psalmist. Let me hear what the Lord God says, because he speaks peace to his people and to his faithful ones. Don't let them return to foolish ways. God's salvation is very close to those who honor him, so that his glory can live in our land. Welcome to worship this second Sunday of Advent. As we get into this Advent season, last Sunday, many people were saying, it's December already? Oh my, where did the year go? Hopefully we're a little bit more used to that, getting a little less stressed about everything and able to encounter the peace that God has to offer for us today on this second Sunday of Advent. As we continue through Advent here up towards Christmas, we are doing one of the special offerings of the Presbyterian Church USA, the Joy Offering. There are envelopes for that. Shared a little bit about that. There's some information in your newsletters about that, and we'll be collecting that through the end of this year. We also have the Alternative Gift Fair going on out there, which you'll get some more information on that later during Moment for Mission. Angel Tree is out there. I don't know if Mary Ellen is... There you are. Would you like to share anything on that at this time, or on the angel tree?
Good morning. Well, here we are. It's the time of the angel tree again. I don't know, every year it seems to come quicker. But this year, we have 58 children and one father requesting some assistance. And that's about what we have usually. But for the first time, we've had requests for 7 bikes. And Jennifer and her Sunday school kids have been putting them together, and it's such a joy to have this type of, you know, giving kids what they really want, and what kid doesn't want a bike? We will be sorting and bagging next Sunday on the 15th and delivering to the Advocat building to their loading dock the next day. Now, on next Sunday, after the service, we're going to begin by blessing the bags in the narthex. They're going to be right behind those windows there, all those bags. And we are inviting all of you to pick up a bag and take it in to where we will have the tables set up, which won't, it'll be in the larger room in a classroom rather than in the big room. So we are definitely going to need a few people to help. If you will, after the blessing, just drag a bag over or two and put them under the table. We'll have the table with numbers on them, and that way every one of us can contribute to this wonderful event. We're going to need a few people, and I've got the sign-up sheet out there. We're going to need 2 or 3 adults and 4 or 5 adolescents. And if we don't have enough adolescents, we'll need more adults, and I will track you down. So please remember to attach your tags for each gift securely so that we can get them to the right family. On Monday the 16th, we deliver, and here's another opportunity. On the sign-up sheet, there's just one sign-up sheet, but there are several things you can sign up for. We'll need some cars, and I'm hoping someone will give us a truck, you know, or drive a truck down for us. We really do need that, because with 7 bikes and all of the bags, it's going to be a very interesting thing. Delivery really is very smooth. Head Start's been doing this for a long time, and it's also fun. Now, my last request for the congregation is a designated photographer. For years, we've tried to take pictures. It just doesn't work. We need one person who's doing that. So the sign-up sheet is in place out in the narthex. Thank you so much for your generosity in keeping this mission going. We are so grateful for you. Thank you.
And speaking of designated photographer, we'd like all of you to become a designated photographer. We're in the process of getting a new website put together, and as part of that, we want to get some current pictures of people smiling and showing that we can have some fun here, that we're not just frozen, and we want more than just a building. We want the people, the relationships, to be able to show to the community. So also, if you would prefer to not have your face included on any of those, please let the office know in writing, send us an email, drop us a note. That way we can make sure to go along with that as well. But if you want to take some pictures, some brief video that's nice and still, let us know. We'd be glad to share that and be able to see if we can utilize that on the website. Many other opportunities here coming up for serving. Lori, I don't know if you have information on loaves and fishes or any updates there that need to be shared this morning coming up. You know, we did the homeless meal. We were able to serve them the other night. It's been a busy time.
Well, first off, I'd like to thank everybody who brought food for the warming shelter. There are 30 people that are served at that event, and it's greatly appreciated for them to get a hot meal. That doesn't always happen for those folks, so it really means a lot. Also, we have the blood drive coming up. If you have the opportunity, if you haven't yet, please sign up for that. It's December 16th. Very important that we consistently give, especially at this time of the year. Many people are busy with things and it kind of gets put on the back shelf. And this is when the need really starts to become an issue. With the changes in the weather and accidents that happen, it's really important that we get that blood. Also, loaves and fishes will be serving. Week from Thursday, thank you. Week from Thursday, too much information
week from
today.
Wednesday?
Week from Wednesday. So if you have not signed up to or come to join us at Loaves and Fishes, it's a really fun time. It's very organized, there's a lot of camaraderie. It's really enjoyable. I have a blast when I'm there. There's a lot of high energy going on, and it works like a machine, just moves right along. It takes not even 2 hours of your time. So if you want to get to know your church family a little better, that's an opportunity for you as well. Thank you.
There are many different opportunities to be able to engage and to further God's kingdom here in this community. It is a joy to be able to see so many ways in which our household of ministry reaches out and connects in the community. Each Sunday we gather together to worship God, to hear God's word afresh, and to allow the Spirit to transform us. I invite you to welcome the Spirit of Christ into your life at this moment as we allow the light of Christ symbolically to come forward and the bell tolls marking the start of our worship service as we prepare to worship God on this second Sunday of Advent.
The prophet Malachi calls us to watch for the messenger God will send us, a messenger who burns with a passion for God's coming salvation.
For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Malachi chapter 3, verses 2b to 3.
In a world driven by passion to maintain the status quo, we choose to live with the passion for God's peace, to listen to those who call us to righteousness, and to submit ourselves to God's grace, that we might be refined and purified until we reflect God's love throughout the earth.
We light this candle of peace as a sign of our commitment to passionately pursue the work of making peace in our hearts, our families, our communities, and throughout the earth until God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven.
We read in Isaiah 45:22, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. In our brokenness, let us turn to the Lord our God, creator of heaven and earth, who alone is God and seeks God's mercy." Please join me in the prayer of confession. Lord, hear us this day as we open our hearts and our spirits to you. These times in which we live are often confusing and fearful. We are pushed to make preparations for a season which is supposed to bring hope and peace. Yet we crowd it with obligations and stresses and shut the door of your healing love and compassion. We find ourselves being on edge, fretful, wondering if we have done enough or can do enough. Take just a few moments now to offer your own personal silent confession. You answer our fears with your voice. Peace, be still. Help us to hear you and slow us down. Encourage us to take some time to listen rather than shout, to stop and rest rather than run. Cause us to look around at situations and people who are in need and to place our focus on helping them. For it is in helping your people and reaching out in heaven that we will find true peace. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "I bring you peace, not the kind of peace the world would give to you. My peace I give to you now and forever. Be at peace. Know God's love is given to you. The peace of Christ be with you and also with you." Let us pass the sign of peace.
You may be seated. As the liturgists of this year are coming forward, we are trying to recognize different groups of people that serve in various ways throughout the year here at church. So today we are recognizing all of our liturgists. And the worship team has put together some thank you cards that AJ, as a representative of our worship team, is going to hand out to the liturgists here who have served at different times through the year. If you're interested in being a liturgist, please let us know. We'd be glad to have you come up to share in the liturgy, to share in leading of worship. As he offers those written words of thanks, may we offer a praise of thanks.
So I've been a part of this congregation for 30 years. I've always, my Grandpa Arnold was a liturgist for a long time, deacon, a big part of the community here, and always seeing people from our congregation get up, read the Word of God to us, and let it resonate with us a little bit more. It always means more, coming from people that we sit with and engage in the Word with. So I just want to extend my appreciation for all you guys always coming up here and doing it and always being a part of it. So thank you very much.
And we thought, since we have the liturgists up here, I don't know if anybody needs a copy. Everybody has one already? Well prepared. So today we're going to change things up just a little bit for the scripture readings. So today we're going to have all the liturgists engage, and rather than doing it with liturgists being the leader and congregation reading responsively, we're going to go back and forth and have the women be the leaders and the men can follow along. It's the way it should be, right? Okay. So as we read through our first scripture reading today, I will open, and then the women. Let's see, John's father. Okay. Yes.
John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Bless the Lord God of Israel, because he has come to help and has delivered his people.
He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in his servant David's house, just as he said through the mouths of his holy prophets long ago.
He has brought salvation from our enemies and from the power of all those who hate us.
He has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and remembered his holy covenant, the solemn pledge he made to our ancestor Abraham.
He has granted that we would be rescued from the powers of our enemies, so that we could serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness in God's eyes, for as long as we live.
You, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way.
You will tell his people how to be saved through the forgiveness of their sins.
Because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us to give light to those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide us on the path of peace.
And we will do this for the gospel reading. We will be reading that together here in unison. I volunteered to read the first portion of it with all the confusing names, so I can set the example of mispronouncing them and making it okay. From Luke's Gospel, the third chapter. In the 15th year of the rule of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea and Herod was ruler over Galilee, his brother Philip
was ruler over Iturea and Trachonitis. And Lysanias was ruler over Abilene during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. God's word came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness.
John went throughout the region of the Jordan River, calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changed in their hearts and lives, and wanted God to forgive their sins. This is just as it was written in the scroll of the words of Isaiah the prophet.
A voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be leveled. The crooked will be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. All humanity will see God's salvation.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I would like the children to come forward. I was looking for something. I was thinking about what I was going to say, and I thought I was going to tell you there was something in the folders, and I forgot to look in the folder to get it out. Yeah. Yeah, it looks just like your folder, because you're going to find something inside there. So if you take a peek, what? Really? 17 days till Christmas. Okay. So have you ever seen one of these things that I have on my picture up there? What is that? What is it called? Yeah, it's for construction. It's like a cone. And usually if that's up, it says, don't go in there, right?
It says,
roads closed. Kind of a block. Tells us we can't go in there right now, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So did you hear our scripture today? Did you hear John the Baptist said, make the road straight, right? Do you think he might get out your shovel and fill up the potholes?
Yeah.
Really? Well, kind of, if you think about it. What he was saying was, you need to have a straight path to your heart for God. Sometimes we put some stuff up in the way. We put some of these things up in the way. Sometimes we make choices that aren't good choices. And it puts a little block. Oh, sorry, God. I'm too busy doing other stuff right now. Don't have time for you. Or, so sorry, I made some bad choices. I'm not ready for you right now. And that's what kind of happens. So that's what John was saying. He said, make a path straight to your heart for God to come in. And sometimes we've got these blocks coming up.
Yeah.
Everybody's got something different. So this time in Advent, this T-I-M-E, yep. This time of Advent is a time for us to think about what are some of those roadblocks we have? What are some of those things that are getting in the way for God to have that straight path to our heart? Well, one of the things that we can do to help is as we are going through and as we are thinking about the things that maybe we need to work on, we need to fill up our hearts with God's word. And that's why I need you to look inside your bag. So inside the folder or the bag, you can see this one. Can you hold this one for me? Yeah, show everybody that one. That's one of them. That is a path from the start of Advent to the end of Advent. And it has all of the different verses that we have that we can read more about this time in the church. We can learn more about this Advent season and more about Jesus' birth. So that's one of them. And then I have one more inside your folder. This one is like a little path. Yeah, see? Yeah, sure. And so you start here, and you go all the way. You can see there's like a path. You go all the way around, and you come to the very last one is Christmas, right? And these are all different scriptures that you can read with your family to get you ready, to get all of God's word into your heart, to open it up and get it filled with God's love, God's hope and God's peace and God's joy and God's love inside your heart. So these are both in your folders, and I'll have some extras out on the table so that you can start getting rid of those roadblocks and start making a straight path to fill up with God's word. Okay, so the folder you have that looks just like this one will have those in it too. Okay? Well, the good news is that God is ready to help us with all of this road construction that we have for our hearts. And so let's talk with God right now about what we can do about that. Loving God, we want to be ready for your coming. We want to be ready for your coming here for Christmas and your coming again. We ask that you would help us to make those roads straight. We ask you to help us get rid of those barriers that are or rough patches that we have. We ask that with your help, that you would help us to share the love that you have for us with everyone that we meet. And we just thank you so much for the gifts that you give to us each and every day. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable and pleasing unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever experienced theater makeup? Now, I've personally experienced, you know, just some of the basics to get rid of the shine and give a little extra theater color type thing. But I remember that first time that I saw someone getting theater makeup put on to make it look like they had this really borderline gruesome wound. And if I hadn't watched this entire process from beginning to end, I would have thought this was real. It looked real, even up close. Now, I realized that this lady doing this, and men do it as well, that's a whole different area of artist's work. Truly, she was an artist. There was a purpose. There's a purpose in theater to put on that makeup, to be able to create a certain image that maybe isn't really there. Same thing happens in television, movies. Now in movies, we've got CGI, the computer-generated imagery. And with the advancement of AI augmenting CGI, it's difficult to know if what we're watching has anything real in it or if it's entirely made up, fake, artificial. And now we can pull out our phones and iPads, and with just a swipe, we can add all sorts of different filters that do just about anything. And sometimes they do more than what we really want them to do. And we create this world that we live in that is fake. It's not real. And I've realized there are many people that come into worship service on Sunday morning. But that's pretty much what they're doing. They're displaying a sense of peace when the reality deep inside is emptiness, loneliness, guilt and shame, anxiety, fear, grief, hurt. And the problem is, you or I, we can't really tell. We'd never know how they're feeling on the inside. I can look out and see all of your faces, and I don't know what happened in the last 24 hours in your life that maybe has turned everything upside down, and you're just on a fringe sitting in the pews with a smile on your face, looking so peaceful. Because that's what we're supposed to do when we're in church, right? I'd argue no. The problem is, all we see is that fake mask that's painted on. But when those who are close to us, our family, our friends, even our coworkers, when they know the struggles that we're dealing with, and then they see us on Sunday morning, just smiling to one another, it can look like an act. Like it's all fake. Like we're just putting on this mask of peace to hide all the imperfections of reality inside for an hour or two and get through that. And for some, it is nothing more than just an act. Because that's what many have been taught is the right thing to do. For those for whom I'm talking there, that it is nothing more than an act, and you're feeling the Spirit speaking to you. The Spirit is calling you into repentance. We need to create an atmosphere where we can be open and honest. For some, it's much more than an act. It's the actual truth of encountering the presence of God's peace. Experiencing the presence of the Father's love, the forgiveness found in Christ's death and resurrection, the healing power of the Holy Spirit, washing away the masks that we wear to get through the rest of the week. For you, the Spirit is speaking, saying you are on the path of peace. In our scripture today, we read, because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us to give light to those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide us on the path of peace. If you're feeling that presence of the Spirit revealing that you're faking a life of peace, know that you are on that path of peace. And if you're feeling the presence of the Spirit revealing your personal moments of true peace as a temporary harbor from the storms of everyday life, know that you too are on that path of peace. If you're listening to this message from afar, longing for what seems to be a fleeting or elusive encounter with what Paul and Timothy phrase as a peace that exceeds all understanding, a peace that transcends, know that you too are on that path of peace. So what is this path of peace? What does the path of peace look like? Probably not what we might expect it to look like. If you were to ask people what the path of peace looks like, and I encourage you to ask people this question as you go through this upcoming week, I'm going to guess you're likely going to get some sort of a tranquil nature type scene away from the busyness and noise of life, absent of anything man-made, absent of any conflict, and the person's going to be all alone, much like the image that we have today. There's probably, maybe you'll encounter a white dove in some way or another. That's typically there if, you know, they've got any kind of a church upbringing. But that's a deceptive image, I would say, that the world paints for us. That's what we long for. That's what we expect it to be, because that's what the world has taught us. But that's not the peace that God of the Bible talks about. You see, we can and we do find moments of peace in various places, many of which are found in nature, when we're away from other humans, especially those that, for whatever reason, seem to produce some conflict in our life, whether it's because of them or because of us. But peace, true peace, the peace of God, is not just the absence of conflict. It's the fullness of God's presence. We can even experience peace in the midst of conflict. I'd go so far as to say we should experience peace in the midst of conflict. That's what carries us through conflict without picking up our marbles and going home, without dividing us versus them, me versus you, right versus wrong. The peace of God holds us together. We can experience that mystery of God's presence, not only in the midst of conflict, but in our everyday, ordinary lives. We like to envision peace as the prophet Isaiah foretold in the words, "Every valley will be filled, every mountain and hill will be leveled, the crooked will be made straight, the rough places made smooth." We like to reference those passages. That gives us a sense of peace and hope, of something that's void of all the struggles of this world. But what about the verse that comes before those? "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make his paths straight." That's the hard work. Were those just the words for John the Baptist and they stopped? Or what if those are words for us to live out as well? How might you and I be more like John? How can we help prepare the way for the Lord? How can we create an atmosphere for encountering the presence of the living God in the everyday, ordinary moments of life? Maybe instead of that older WWJD bracelet that so many of us had, "What would Jesus do?" we could pull those out and change it around. What would John do? How did John prepare the way for Christ? And what can we do to prepare? We're told that John went throughout the region of the Jordan River, calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and their lives, and they wanted God to forgive their sins. Many times when I've heard about John the Baptist, read about him, I'd think of some of the street preachers that I've encountered. Many times growing up, going down to Madison, up and down State Street, I'd hear some street preachers. And John wasn't just this crazy man shouting at people about their sins and the end of the world. Neither are those street preachers. There's some truth. John was calling people to repentance. And that's what we need to do. Calling us and calling others to turn away from sin, turning towards God. It's a calling people to change their hearts, to change their lives. And we need to hear that calling ourselves. We are called to be bold in our faith, saying no to ungodly actions, or being bold in our faith by encouraging others to encounter God's peace in a new way. We're called to display on the outside the reality of who we are on the inside. Because we're not perfect. We don't have it all together. We need God and we need one another. John the Baptist wore clothes and ate foods like the prophets of the Old Testament. He didn't put on fancy clothes of royalty or dine in banquets prepared by servants because he was announcing the King of Kings coming in, the Lord of Lords. Maybe that's how the Pharisees, religious leaders of that day, would have envisioned the Messiah coming and the prophet announcing the Messiah. But no, wearing camel skins and eating locusts and honey, yum. What you saw with John the Baptist, it's what you got. He was a prophet, a person called by God to call others to a new way of life, life that we know only comes through death and allowing those little death moments to be lived out in our life, putting to death the sins of our life. Just as John was calling people to be prepared for Jesus, you and I need to be calling people to be prepared to encounter the presence of Jesus. Now, like I said, we don't need to go out and kill some animals and live off the land, anything like that. That was specific for John the Baptist. You and I are called to witness to others, to give a testimony, to call others in different ways, different even from one another. It may be as small as showing kindness to somebody who's having a bad day, a few words of encouragement to a cashier working a shift that's filled with rude people. That could make all the difference in their life. Pausing to hold the door for somebody who's carrying an armload of gifts or struggling to walk, or maybe they're kind of slow and you hurried up to get around them to get into the store quickly and you realize, you know what, they've just got their head hanging down. You can tell by their body language as you go past them on your mission to get into that store, get what you need to do and get out, avoid all the conflict of the crowds. And you pause and you stand at the door and you hold it for them and you wait for them to shuffle in. And maybe as they go past, they look at you and they stand up just a little bit taller and feel a little weight of the world lifted off of them because somebody cares. Somebody noticed them. It's amazing how much a simple smile, a pause, lets you impact the lives of others around. It may be something that requires a little bit more of you, maybe stepping outside of your comfort zone, inviting a friend to church, maybe even starting a Bible study amongst coworkers or friends. There are many ways that we can be able to show others that, yes, we are real sinful human beings, but we are redeemed, and that we have God's peace in our life. And because of that peace, God has made us into something different. The path of peace is that encounter with the divine. Luke phrases the words of Isaiah by saying, all humanity will see God's salvation. This means that We, in the midst of our living, our breathing, our human life filled with conflict, we're able to encounter the presence of God. It's not just in worship on Sunday morning. God comes to us this time of year, we remember, as a child, amidst other humans that are marginalized, in a lowly manger, an animal feeding trough, surrounded by all the smells and sounds of that sweet manger scene. I can say that growing up on a farm, it was sweet. As he grew up, he was persecuted. He was executed on the cross so that we might be able to encounter the presence of God as we are, without fear. If we are to live out that type of life, being sinful, selfish human beings that we are, living out that promise of being transformed more and more into that likeness of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit living together in community, we need to learn how to do that. We decorate Christmas with a mask of lights. We adorn it with angels and stars. We proclaim in song, "Glory to God in the highest." These are all good and meaningful ways to celebrate the birth of our Savior and to prepare our hearts for His return. But in the Christmas story, that image of the invisible God made visible in human form, sleeping in that sweet-smelling manger, resting among angels, angels giving frightening words to night laborers. That, my friend, is the path of peace. In community, the messiness of it all, the uncertainty, off the beaten path. In the weeks ahead, we're going to begin to unwrap this giant present that comes between us and the presence of the crucified Christ. But for now, may we begin afresh by choosing to heed the prophet's call, choosing to turn our lives back to the ways of God so that we might encounter the presence of the resurrected Christ, allowing God to be at work in us, through us, and, as I like to say, even especially in spite of us, so that all may see salvation, so that all may encounter the presence of God. May we journey together on this mysteriously captivating and powerfully unburdening path of peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. One of the ways of encountering God, the presence of God, is to gather together in prayer. Whether it's prayer together physically or prayer vicariously from many different places, we lift one another up in prayer. Let us turn to God. Almighty and gracious God, we give you thanks for the ways in which you are present in our lives. Yes, we thank you for the presence of all the gifts that you give to us, the many blessings. Lord, help us to hold those blessings a little bit more loosely so that you might use them. You might allow us to share those gifts with others. Lord, remind us what it means to be in your presence with others. Allow us to live together in community. And Lord, in those moments when we're together in community with people that either differ from us or are different from us, allow us to welcome your peace in the midst of whatever conflict and chaos might be erupting all around us. Lord, help us to understand more and more of that peace, that shalom that you offer. Allow us to understand that it's more than just a state of mind. It's more than something that we do. It's a gift that you give to us, knowing that you are in control, that you are not distant and far off, that it's not up to us to save the world, to make everything right, knowing that we don't have to put on a mask and be fake, knowing that we can be honest with one another. Help us learn what it takes to build a community of trust and unity, where we can share together the struggles that we encounter, that we can admit our brokenness, that we can confess the ways in which we have not followed after you, and accept your forgiveness. Lord, allow us to encounter your presence and to be wrapped in your peace as we turn to you in prayer, as we hear your word, as we meditate on your word throughout each and every day, and as we encounter those trials in which we're questioned about the peace that we claim to be living within. May your peace reign in our lives and overflow into all the lives of those you place in our path, wherever it is that you lead us throughout each and every day. Allow us to become your church, the body of Christ, living together in unity. We begin by practicing and praying the prayer that you taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As I wrote in the newsletter and mentioned, we're going to try to cultivate a sense of an affirmation of faith during each worship service, to be able to remind us of those who have come before us, of those affirmations, those creeds that God's people have written in different places, at different times, in different circumstances. I invite you to stand as we recite together a portion of the Confession of Belhar and a brief statement of faith. We believe that God has revealed God's self as the one who wishes to bring about justice and true peace among people. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus." You may be seated. Invite members of the serving team to come up, as I promised during announcement time, to share a little bit more about the alternative gift fair that we have.
Hello again. I wanted to share a little more about the local organizations that were chosen for Alternative Gift Fair. For those of you who aren't familiar with Catherine Drexel, House of Hope, they have a waiting list of 500 people. So the efforts that they are making are phenomenal. It's such a well-rounded, complete program to help people get back on their feet. They train them budgeting, they help them find employment, they help them find housing, they help set up their households. But with a waiting list like that, it's really tough. So they are a wonderful organization right here in Fond du Lac that I think really bodes thought for the Alternative Gift Fair. The other one is Damascus Road. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, I was lucky enough to chat with this woman, Lisa, at length. And oddly enough, she had just been out at Tachita and was telling me about this fellow that she met out there who said, oh, you have to come talk at my church. Happened to be my son, AJ, so that was kind of incidental. Many of the women in Tachita have been in prostitution, they have been in drug involvement, they have sold and trafficked drugs. They get involved with a fella who manipulates them into trying drugs. Then they end up on the street for prostitution. They end up running these drugs, they get arrested, and now they're in prison. And when these women get out of prison, their pimps have all of their ID, so they don't have a driver's license, they don't have anything that they can get set up in a new housing facility, that they can get a job with, because their pimps have all of their information. And those pimps are standing at the door waiting for them to get out of prison to put them right back on the street. Damascus Road rescues these women. They pick them up, they take them to facilities, get them set up with housing, with jobs, with schooling, with support that they need to stay clean, to stay productive, and independent individuals away from these circumstances of prostitution and drug addiction. And they function within our region. They are in Oshkosh as their home base, but they go as far as Green Lake, Appleton, close to West Bend area, Sheboygan. And Lisa's goal is to cover all of Wisconsin one day. That is her goal. 100% of what we give to them goes into facilitating all of this. There is no paid staff. This is totally volunteer. So what you give can rescue someone. So please give consideration to Damascus Road.
Thank you, Laura. The Alternative Gift Fair for 2024 includes two choices of organizations with national impact. We are familiar with the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance from previous donation drives, and their main effort for relief in the United States this year focused on Hurricanes Helene and Milton, which affected Florida, Georgia, South and North Carolina, and Tennessee. The damage was caused by storm surge, high winds, and flooding. PDA, or Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, has responded by providing potable water, hygiene items, medical care, shelter, fuel, and much more. Your donations to Presbyterian Disaster Assistance will provide resources for long-term recovery, which will take many years. Another national nonprofit program, Samaritan's Purse, is new to us as an organization. They are actually headquartered in North Carolina. I also focus their efforts this year to recovery from hurricanes and other disasters in the southern states. They sent multiple airlifts of relief supplies, such as water filters, shelters, materials, food, hygiene items, and cooking kits to impacted areas. Well, let's watch a brief video of some of these airlifts.
The day following the hurricane, Maris First began using its Bell 407 helicopter right away, delivering supplies to cut-off communities and those that desperately needed help. The scope of the mission grew, and what we see now is probably the largest civilian air operation put together in history.
I don't think I've ever seen this airport as busy as it has been, and I don't think it ever will be again.
We have helicopters coming and going every 30 minutes.
We're moving everywhere to get supplies onto the choppers as quick as possible.
Everything from small helicopters up to the big CH-47 Chinooks.
We were initially doing food, water, and other supplies, then a transition to generators, fuel, power supplies, heating sources.
We want to get this stuff out to people as soon as possible as the temperatures start to drop.
We want people to know they're not forgotten, they're not forsaken. We work through local churches and these volunteer fire departments to help the woman that has an oxygen machine and she needs power. The single mom was trying to keep the kids warm at night. And those are those people we work through to get the needs right away. But we want them to know their love. That's why Samaritan's Purse goes. We thank you for the prayers and supporting the ministry, but continue to pray for Western North Carolina. There's still great need. Thank you.
More information is available on the websites and at the Alternative Gift Fair table in the narthex. Thank you.
This time I invite the ushers to come forward to gather God's tithes and our offerings as we give back a portion of that which God has entrusted to us, and may we give our very selves and symbolically place ourselves in the plate to be transformed for use for God's kingdom. Lord, we give you thanks for the many blessings of our life. We thank you for all the chaos, the confusion. Take these gifts, multiply them, use them to further your kingdom and to further your peace here on earth until you come. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in faith, so that you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.